What's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kinville, and we got a little. This is going to be the quick pod, the shortcut version of the Hockey Royalty Podcast, if you would. But before we get into that, we of course want to let you know that you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter at Hockey_Royalty and Royalty_Pod, and we're on Facebook and YouTube at Hockey Royalty. Pretty easy, pretty self-explanatory. So, just two of us tonight. So there is no Emperor of Analytics. He is analyzing what the dinner bill is going to be between him and his girlfriend right now. So, so it's just myself and, of course, the editor-in-chief, the straw that stirs the drink of HockeyRoyalty.com. It's Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Scott. How are we doing?
Not too bad. You sound a little bit better.
Yeah. It was crazy last 7 days or so. You know, I sounded like garbage on, I think we did it last Tuesday, the last pod that is. And I mean, a lot of the listeners know I tested positive for COVID on, I got tested Friday and I found out Monday. So but my 3-year-old twins tested positive too. And my wife, she's got like some sort of stomach flu and she just got retested today. So goodness. It's kind of we'll touch on it later, but it's kind of just a microcosm of what's going on around the world right now.
How's your kids feeling?
Oddly enough, they're fine. I mean, they just had a stomach thing for like 12 hours. But yeah, mine was like just intense sinus pressure, headaches, body aches, fatigue, yeah. You know, congestion, the works. Yeah.
Man. Well, I'm glad to see that you're feeling better and that you are feeling good enough to do this podcast tonight.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
So there you go. So our Kings, you know, for a while there, we was felt like it was going to be the end of the world, especially after they lost 4-0 to Vancouver in Bruce Boudreau's debut. But then a funny thing happens, and it's kind of always seems to happen in hockey. Just like a light switch, they turn it around. They turn around, they beat the Dallas Stars 4-0. Then they beat the Minnesota Wild, another tough team, 2-1. And then last night, they played a very tough game against a very tough team in the Tampa Bay Lightning, which they ultimately lost in overtime. But I don't think anybody was expecting our Kings to hang with them like they did. So kudos to them. However, with all that good news, there is, of course, bad news. And that being in the form of Alex Edler. He was injured against Minnesota. And it looks like it's going to be a pretty long-term injury, according to what Todd McClellan was saying. So going forward, what do you think the plan is going to be to try to replace Mr. Alex Edler?
I think you got to make a move for one of the heavy hitters, the premier, you know, dynamic left shot defenseman that Rob Blake has been talking about. And, you know, of course, the rumor just leaked out today about Jacob Chychrun potentially being available now. And, you know, Arizona has apparently asked for a massive return, which, I mean,
not surprised or unsurprising. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I just kind of quickly, I looked at the Jack Eichel trade as an example. And obviously there's a lot of interchangeable options and things like that. But what I came up with was Alex Turcotte, Adrian Kempe, 2022 first rounder, and then either a second or third round pick in 2023.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, like I said, you know, you could swap out Kempe for Vilardi or for Iafallo, but I was just trying to go with like, you know, Peyton Krebs, Alex Tuck, and then two draft picks.
Right, so, one of which was a first rounder, and then the other one was a second rounder, I believe.
It was a third rounder.
Was it a third rounder? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was kind of a big flip-flop. That's right.
But Peyton Krebs was like a mid-round
pick. I think he was 17th overall.
Yeah, 17th, so he was 12th behind Turcotte in 2019.
Right.
And Tuck is obviously an established player, 25 years old, so that's kind of why I went with, you know, Kempe or Iafallo there. And then the draft picks, I mean, who knows? I mean, they'll certainly be better than Vegas's.
Right. Well, and you got to figure, I would imagine that the Kings might put a conditional on that first rounder because
sure.
because of the way things are going this season. I mean, obviously, if it ends up being a lottery pick, you put a condition on it that it's a 2023 no matter what. But, you know, the thing is, though, they're probably going to have to somehow try to make money work because they don't have a lot of cap space right now either. Obviously, yeah. you're going to be able to put Edler on IR, which is going to help with the cap situation. But I don't know if – I mean, Kempe is only making $2 million a year, and I don't have cap-friendly right in front of me right now. But you would almost have to think somebody else would have to go just to try to balance the money out a little bit. But if they can get a Jacob Chychrun, I think that's a deal that you have to go for. And I think, you know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, Chychrun's only on a 4.6 AAV right. contract. So, I mean, Edler off the books on LTIR is, I think it was, what, 3.5?
Right.
Is what he signed for. And then if Kempe's moved, you know, it's 5.5 that clears you.
There you go. Yeah, you know what? For some reason, I thought Chychrun was making more, but
no, he's on such a team-friendly contract. That's why. I mean, he's under contract for 3 more years too, I believe. So he doesn't turn 24 until March. I mean, his underlying stats this year are not great. I think he has just 2 goals, and 5 assists. I'll have to pull up his stats.
Yeah, but you got to consider the team he's on, though.
Too. Exactly. That's where I was going with it. You know, just bear with me here, the listeners.
No, and that's the whole thing.
Right there, though. 2 goals, 5 assists, and he's at a minus 29. But again, I think that's more of the product.
Take that into account.
Around him.
Right, absolutely.
But apparently, they can beat us.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I'm sure he was on the plus side that night, of course. But no, you know what? I think that's the type of move that Kings fans have been clamoring for too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can especially when they were losing, you could just feel the aggravation just overboiling at points, you know, or what are we doing here? Why are we not doing something to try to right the ship here? And really, I mean, not for nothing, the Kings are not out of it by any stretch of the imagination, even with the, you know, the bad losses to Vancouver and all that. It just, you know, the way the Western Conference is set up, they can still get in. Now, granted, the Pacific Division has gotten a heck of a lot more difficult than anybody thought it was going to be, you know, but there's a couple of things to consider. So Calgary is going to be not playing for quite some time now because they got the COVID, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on. So how are they going to rebound when they come back, right? Edmonton's going to be Edmonton. Vegas is starting to get healthy again, which is not exactly a Christmas present for the rest of the Pacific Division, but it is what it is. And of course, Anaheim doing what Anaheim is doing is just shocking to pretty much everybody, including us. But with that said, there's still a lot of hockey to be played. And if there is a team that has the tools to be able to make a deal like this work, it's definitely the LA Kings. There's just no doubt about it. And I think it would definitely be worth looking into if that kind of deal becomes available.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Chychrun, who's established and still young like that, would be preferred. Another guy that I've seen kind of popping up in early trade rumors is Erik Brännström on the Senators.
Yeah.
22 years old, been kind of up and down between NHL and AHL. You know, I think the comment was he's only 22 years old, but he's already 22 years old, as in, like, you know, is it now or never?
Right.
In terms of putting it all together. But like I said, he hasn't, I don't know his whole backstory. I'm just kind of looking at elite prospects right now, but, you know, this year, 2 games with the NHL club, 9 games with the AHL club. Last year, he had 30 games with the NHL club, had 13 points, and a +3 in that time, which was an improvement over the previous year of just 4 points in 31 games and a -9 at 20 years old. But again, probably a less expensive option, but a less proven option if that's something that they want to consider.
But you know what the thing with Brent, I mean, he is, I think if I recall correctly, he's kind of a smaller player for starters,
he is,
right?
Yes.
And so, you know, the thing that you got to keep in mind is Edler also brought an element of physicality to that defense.
I know.
Which you're not going to get from somebody from like Branstrom, right? And, you know, he just reminds me so much of what we just went through with the Cal Clegg situation, right? Which leads me to believe that if the Kings were willing to lose Cal Clegg to waivers, and I understand the whole point of wanting to go get somebody like him, but is it going to be Cal Clegg 2.0, right, where they're going to try to bounce him back and forth between L.A. and Ontario? And at this point, why would you want to put yourself through that again?
And that's kind of what I came to the conclusion of. It's like, you know, is he going to be another – would he be another Cal Clegg situation? And,
yeah.
I mean, you probably answered it. He probably end up would being that guy, whereas Chickering, you know, he's going to be on the left side of the defense at the NHL level every night.
Right, exactly.
With that bomb of a shot he has.
I know. Yeah, I'm just salivating, just starting to think about it. Yeah, you know, I mean, and the thing is, you know, it's like you mentioned, you know, trading Kempe. I mean, he's been dynamite this year. There's no doubt about it. But a guy like him, his trade value is never going to be higher than right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, you could say the same thing maybe about Quick, too.
I know, right? Where would they be without him right now?
I know.
And I tell you. So let's talk about that for a second with a little quickie.
Sure.
Heartbreaking loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning in Amalie Arena, by the way. This was not in Staples. Well, yeah. You can only say Staples for a few more days here.
Right? I'm going to always call it Staples.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry, crypto. Me the stapler.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's – but still, going in to play the Lightning, an extremely tough team, as everybody knows. But Jonathan Quick was just huge in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't – and that save that he made against Andre Palat does not end up as a save of the year candidate, then it's rigged. There's just no way then it's rigged, because it was just an amazing save. And, you know, it was mentioned – I forgot if it was Foxy or if it was Alex Faust that mentioned it. But, you know, this is Jonathan Quick when, you know, from 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That we've been seeing all season long. And it's true. And it's very true. You know, I kind of felt bad for Brownie last night because, I mean, he just seemed like he was snake bitten.
I know.
He had all kinds of chances, and it just – for whatever reason, the puck would not go in for him.
It's been kind of like that for him all year long. I don't know if – I mean, obviously, Father Time has caught up with him, but sure. He's just had a lot of bad puck luck this year, I guess.
Right.
But, yeah, I guess back to the Lightning game, you know, Quick, he had another big save in the overtime period where it was down at one end and then down at the other end, you know, bam, bam.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just unfortunate because if you're going to call that tripping on Kopitar at the end of the second period, you got to call that tripping penalty on Matthew Joseph.
Yes.
On Arvidsson, because Arvidsson's down on the ice and the Lightning are going 3-on-2 the other way.
Right.
And they end up, they end up scoring on the rebound.
Yeah. And that made the game right there.
Yeah.
You know, that really did. And it's too bad. It really is. But I mean, you know, and sometimes the calls just don't go your way. That's hockey. That's the way it is. But it's very encouraging, despite everything that's really gone wrong this season, to see them still have some pluck, right? And to see them still battle it out against a very, very good Tampa Bay Lightning team.
Well, yeah, they've kind of shown that all year long against really good teams.
Yeah,
they get up for these big games. You know, I think they jumped out to like a 7-2, then eventually like 13-6, something like that, shots on goal lead before Tampa kind of took over in the second period. You know, after the Arvidsson goal, it was really all Tampa from there. You know, the Kings had their moments. I think Philip Deneau had a point blank chance, but yeah, I mean, few and far between. But I forgot kind of where I was going with that in general.
That's all right. It was the best of us.
Yeah. Just, back to my original point was, you know, they get up for these big games against these big teams. You know, you saw it against the Wild. They allowed just one goal against the Wild, who aren't really you know, you look at some of their team stats, power play, penalty kill, stuff like that. They're not really great at anything. They just score a shitload of goals.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's a great way to put it, too.
I mean, that's, I'm kind of dived into the Panthers tomorrow. They're not really, they kind of remind me of the Wild. They're not really great at any one thing. I mean, they're really good at 5-on-5 play, but they just score a lot of goals.
Wow, and they got some
Yeah, I mean, they got too. Five players out, Carter Verhaeghe and
Sam Bennett
being the, I guess, two notable ones out of that.
Right, and don't forget, Alexander Barkov went back on IR.
I saw that, yeah, earlier this week. So, I mean, I don't want to – it kind of reminds me of the Ottawa game earlier this season where they played him shorthanded, but obviously Tampa shorthanded is much better. Florida shorthanded is still much better than Ottawa, probably at full strength.
No offense to the Senators. there's a lot of truth to that though too. But you know, you mentioned Bennett and Verhaeghe going into the COVID protocols, and it's reared its ugly head again. COVID has it's kind of wreaked havoc all over the league.
In my house, right?
you got to get naming rights for an arena for your house now.
Yeah, we're all in the league's NHL protocol over here.
You put you in a bubble. But
I mean, that's how it is. I haven't left the house since Saturday. Saturday.
Yeah, I tell you, man, that's the toughest part. I remember last year, my wife, right around this time of year, my wife got COVID, and in New York State here, the rule was, because the contact tracers called and all that, and I had to quarantine for 14 days as well, just by living in the same house.
Yeah,
I never once tested positive, but I still so. And you think that's, oh, this could be great. I just get to be around the house for 14 days, not do anything. By lunchtime of the first day, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, you call me up at work, Ryan, you want to record a podcast?
Yeah, right, please. Please. But that notwithstanding, Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic reports that as of right now, the league has absolutely no plans to go into a league wide pause or anything like that. They're going to just try to manage it the best they can. So, but there's also the Olympics coming up.
Yeah.
With that coming, I somehow, especially now, apparently that the Chinese government has stated that any players that test positive will have to do a 5-week quarantine now. And I can't see many, if any, NHL players going over to play in the Olympics at this point with the current guidelines in place the way they are.
Maybe Drew Doughty. I mean, he wants to play for Team Canada so badly.
That'll be our luck too, right?
Yeah. But no, you're right. I mean, that's kind of a – what did they have to do for the bubble in Edmonton? Was it 21 days?
Yeah, like it was 21 days.
And then, you know, for the World Juniors, I think they had to do it again, right?
Yeah, so their practices started yesterday, I believe, for the World Junior teams to get them up there and to – begin the testing procedures and all that.
But yeah, I mean, you know, some of those, I remember Byfield saying, you know, doing basically 6 weeks of quarantine was, you know, rough on him, just sitting around playing Xbox all day. But, you know, that was broken up across two sessions. You know, I can't imagine doing that for 5 straight weeks.
No, there's no way. Not a chance. And not to mention, I mean, what kind of an effect it would have on your team, you know, coming back to the league.
Right.
You know, especially if you're a contender and you got one of your star players that now has to be gone for an additional 3 weeks after the break. So, I mean, it's a really tough call to make at this point. But, I mean, I don't know. It's December, mid-December, and, you know, the Olympics aren't until February. So, of course, a lot could change between then and now. But you also have to start making preparations.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And so I don't know how this is all going to play out, but I don't know. Like I said, it doesn't look good right now for the NHL at the Olympics, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, not to sound selfish, but I mean, obviously I hope everyone can play safely, but it'd be very difficult for the league to shut down again.
Yeah.
Just as a fan, you know, I was so happy when they came back for the bubble.
Yeah, I think that's they're keeping that in mind as well. I mean, you know, at some point they've just decided, you know, of course, listen, we gotta keep going. We got to, you know, you take the precautions that are necessary. You do whatever is necessary to, of course, everybody wants, you know, be safe, and that's obviously priority number one.
Absolutely.
But you know, I mean, you also still have to, you know, continue with life too, and. That's a tough decision to make. I'm glad I'm not in that position to make that final call. I can tell you that. But like I said, as of right now, it's being reported that there is no plans for a pause.
It stinks too, because I believe the salary cap was going to go up by $1 million next year.
Yeah.
A lot sooner than people had anticipated. So, I mean, just kind of bouncing off that, it seemed like everything was really just kind of, trending in a positive direction and back on track again.
Right.
And now here we are. I'm in the mindset of March 2020 all over again.
I know. It's like that impending sense of doom, just kind of, you know.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, we even talked about it, you know, you just never know. Was the Tampa Bay game going to be the last game for a while?
I know. It's horrible. It is. I mean, you know, and of course, like we said, you know, if anybody, you know, who's listening, don't get us wrong. We obviously know and truly believe that player safety and everybody's safety,
yes,
is of course, you know, the top priority. It's just as hockey fans too, we all really love our hockey and just want to be able to see it be played somehow, some way, if at all, safely possible. So we'll see. That's all about we can do right now.
So. Yeah. I mean, so. I mean, what were your impressions of Christian Melanin against the Lightning?
You know, I'll tell you, I'm glad that they claimed him.
Me too.
I thought that was, you know, yeah, I mean, there's always the risk that, you know, with guys like that who are tweeners between the NHL and the AHL, that you're, you know, because obviously there's a reason that people want, you know, guys like Christian Melanin. I mean, he's a solid defenseman. He really is. Of course, he's not going to be a number one for you, but you know what? You don't need a team full of number ones. What you need is solid third pairing defensemen, and that's exactly what Christian Willanen is. You know, and listen, they could have done a lot worse than Christian Willanen, and I thought he was solid against the Lightning. He, you know what? He's just one of those guys that always seems to make the right play at the right time. You know, he's not going to be a burner or, you know, going to do the end-to-end dash for you, but he's also not going to lose the game for you. And especially at the defense position, that's the most important key right there.
Yeah, and he does a lot of things that don't necessarily make the score sheet. You know, there was one particular play that stood out to me, kind of in the left corner or the right corner rather, that led to he kind of set out the breakout for the Kings, and it led to a scoring opportunity. You know, just simple things like that. I don't know. They go kind of unnoticed, but, you know, I nerd out on when I see it.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. And besides that, with you and Russ, you know, with your analytics stuff, I mean, that's good. Well, yeah, I mean, it goes right back to what I said. I mean, it's, you know, he just makes the right plays at the right time, you know, and Todd McClellan was calling Matt Roy Steady Eddie. I see Christian Melanin as another Matt Roy type of defenseman who, you know, again, is not going to light the score sheet up. He's not going to do that, but he's not going to lose you the game, like I said. And that's my overall impression of Christian Melanin, you know. And you know what? There's much worse that you could have on your team than that.
Like Goalie Mata? Sorry.
yeah, that's still kind of a sore subject, but as it is for many Kings fans right now watching Clay go to Montreal, and we're in a good mood. Let's not get that going again. All right.
Yeah, I know, but there is, I mean, you think about the lack of scoring from the blue line. I mean, the Kings have to do something there. You know, they seem to, and it just as a group, they seem to get stuck on like two goals per night, and then it's, you know, which way is it going to go? Are they going to explode for six, or are they going to, you know, be stuck at two?
That's hard, and that's tough. That really is. I mean, but this is also what we've become used to.
Yeah, I know. It's a 3-2 you know? League, right?
Right. And without any, you know, major trade or any kind of major move, this is really what you're going to have. I mean, you know, it's I don't know what else to say besides that because, you know, I will say, you know, and it's not from the defense, but I personally see Arthur Kaliev getting a little bit more comfortable. And I know we were talking about the defenseman, and I just threw you a complete curveball, but
no, that's okay. That
before,
brings
before
me
I up. Forgot because yeah. I mean that's the more comfortable that he gets, that's obviously better for the Kings, and I'd love to see him move up the lineup. I really would, just because you know, and again, it's broken record time. Anybody who listens to this show on a regular basis, go, oh, here goes Scott again with the Arthur Kaliev sales pitch, right? But it's so true, and you know, and well, you just put in our combo here that Blake Lizotte is back tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, never did I think I'd be happy to have Blake Lizotte back, but I mean, that's how underrated he's been for this team this year. You know, it's he and Lemieux have this kind of awesome dynamic between the two. This just gritty tenacity, tough to play against. And then of course you got the sniper and Arthur Kaliev there on the fourth line. But you know, by the same token, I'm not sure that's the best place for him. No, kind of what you were saying. I'd like to see Kaliev in the top six where he can have an opportunity to shoot the puck
right
a little more. You know, I'm already forgetting what game that was that he had that shot, the goal, his last goal, kind of skating between the slot or up
that
the
was
slot.
Dallas, I believe.
Yeah, Dallas. That's right. Just a beautiful shot. I want to see more of that.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Who wouldn't as a King? Well, the King's opponents. That too doesn't want to see more of that. But, yeah. But no, of course. I mean, but you're not going to see him get a lot of those opportunities playing in the bottom six. And that's no offense or disrespect to the bottom six, but it's like we've talked 1,000 times. You know, it's like having a Porsche, but then it needs new tires, and you go to Walmart to put the cheapest tires you can find on the Porsche. Right, you if you're going to have a car like that, you got to put the best tires available on it. And that's, to me, is putting Arthur Kaliev in the top six to see exactly what it is he can do.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
But we'll see. That's about it, you know. So, but anyways, so tomorrow we got the Panthers, and they continue their East Coast road trip. Let's see, you got Carolina and Washington coming up as well, two very tough teams that we just saw a little bit earlier in the season. You know, weather the storm here. Get through, and you know what? I'm going to tell you why I like this being played now, because it's early in the season. You get your road games against these tough teams out of the way early. You know, so you're not doing a late March trip against these teams anyway. When you're, say they battle into a playoff spot, and then all of a sudden you're staring down the barrel of playing Tampa Bay, Florida, Washington, Carolina, all on the road when you're really getting desperate for points.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything in particular that you want to see from the Kings tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
If you can just maybe pinpoint it on one aspect of the team's game.
I want to see the power play click. That's what
I agree. I agree. They're one for their last 11 with Drew Doughty as his blast against the Lightning is the only tally.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting. I was doing a little bit of research before we hopped on here. The Panthers are not exactly doing quite so hot on the power play as well. You know, they got blown out 8-2 against Ottawa on Tuesday. They went 0-6 on the power play.
Yeah.
They have about the same percentage that we do on the season. I think they're right around 18%, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they're dynamite in 5-on-5 situations. But for whatever reason, they just can't seem to carry that success over to the man advantage. So I think that's ultimately where this game could be won tomorrow. You know, if the Kings could maybe you know, they have certainly have no shortage of opportunities, it seems like, in every game. But, you know, as we've been harping on for a while now, their ability to finish just isn't there.
Right.
They have to be able to convert on the power play. They have to.
Absolutely. That, and this is that's the way the Kings are going to win, especially against the really tough teams. You know, you have to take advantage of the opportunities you're given. You have to. There's just no way that you're going to expect to beat a team like Florida 5-on-5. I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen. And you know what else I want to see, Ryan? I want to see Cal Peterson have a great performance against one of these, because he's going to get a game.
He's going to get a game.
And I want to see him have a great performance, if not for anything, just to get his confidence back up. I'm not talking about Cal Peterson taking back over his number one goalie. I'm not saying that. But the poor guy needs a break at some point. And I'm not talking about a break on the bench. I'm talking about, you know, a break in the sense of where he has to have a good game.
Yes. You know,
where things need to go his way. And
I agree. Yeah. After, you can finish your thoughts. Sorry, Scott.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, and I think if he gets that game, especially against a good team, that will go a long way into rebuilding his confidence. Because right now, his confidence is probably pretty much shattered, I would imagine. Of course, I'm not, you know, I'm speculating, really. I mean, I haven't talked to him. I don't know, right? But, I mean, it's got to be pretty demoralizing for what happened. You know, I mean, you know, he's been shelled in the past few games. Obviously, Quickie has taken back over as number one and has done a fantastic job of it. But I just, like I said, I would really love to see for Cal Peterson to be able to rebound, have a great game. And you know what? Maybe going forward, get a few more starts, because as great as Quickie has been, you know, they got to be more cognizant at some point of getting him some days off, because, you know, let's be honest, he's what, 35 years old, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's a long grind in this season. I mean, I know there's the Olympic break coming up, and I know the All-Star break's coming, but even still, you know, going into this season, it was supposed to have been at least a 50-50, if not 60-40 towards Cal. And it hasn't worked out that way, which, you know, that's hockey. It is what it is. But Cal needs to get back on track so that they can start getting, you know, Quickie some maintenance and some rest if they're going to be, you know, legit contending for a playoff spot later this season.
Yeah. And I had mentioned in an article, you know, after Quick shut out the Stars last Thursday, I was like, you know, in Saturday's game, you know, one of my questions was like, Quick back-to-back starts, you know, hey, why not? He's the hot hand right now. But, you know, we've gone several games now here where Quick continues to be the starting goaltender. And yeah, Cal Peterson is sitting on the bench and he's sitting there with his thoughts, you know. I'm sure that's not good. But yeah, like you said, he's probably going to get a start here on the road trip. I just don't know which game. It might be tomorrow, you know, Thursday. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Let me take a look here. I think they play Saturday and...
Yeah, Saturday at Carolina, which that contest could be up in the air given their COVID issues and stuff. So right. I don't... Maybe
and then Todd Sunday tries, in Washington, yeah.
Right. So maybe Todd tries to get... Well, that's tricky there. I wonder if we'll see Cal tomorrow, because he'll at least play in the back-to-back.
Yeah, that's a good thought. That's good. I mean, I don't know. That's of course up to Coach McClellan, but still, like I said, if the Kings are going to be a legit contender at the end of the season to get into the playoffs, the key, I'm telling you right now, one of them anyway, is getting Cal Peterson back on track. They have.
Yeah, and I mean, not only this season, but for the long term as well. I mean, they just signed the guy to a 3-year extension, you know, with Quick's contract expiring after next year, you know.
Right.
Well, what's that going to look like when that, you know,
when
the season comes to a close and all of a sudden Cal is there by himself or whatnot, you know, assuming they don't add another goaltender.
That's true, but it doesn't it always kind of seem like in the NHL that the goaltending just kind of figures itself out?
It does. Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at the Dallas Stars, right? They had four goaltenders going into the season, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously Ben Bishop, by the way, congratulations on a great career. It's a shame it had to end with an injury, but it was a fantastic career. Hudobin just got put on waivers. He's now with the Texas Stars of the AHL. So here you got Braden Holtby, who everybody went, why did they sign him? What's going on here? Well, there you go. You got him and Jake Ottinger now. So, you know, who would have thought Freddie Anderson was going to end up in Carolina? It just seems like every offseason there's a goaltending carousel somehow, some way.
Well, yeah, not only that, but playing well in Carolina. He's playing very well down there. He lost his job to Jack Campbell up in,
right.
in Toronto.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen like on social media, you know, some of the, oh, Jesus, look what Campbell's doing in Toronto. It's like, yeah, that's kind of a bittersweet, you know, because Campbell's such a good guy. You always want to see him succeed, of course, except for when he plays the Kings. But, you know, that's, again, like I said, Cale Peterson is too good of a goalie.
But you have to wonder, though, if Jack Campbell would have been this good, and I mean this with all due respect, with the team that he would have had in front of him if he had stayed in L.A.
Yeah. That's, you know what?
I mean,
question.
Nobody can argue that the Maple Leafs roster is significantly better than the Kings.
Right.
Look at the names on that team. You know, Austin Matthews,
Mitch Marner, Morgan
Riley. Where does it end, right? John Tavares.
Or William Nylander, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, John Tavares. I mean, it's insane how good that team is.
And also, you know, why haven't they won anything? But that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we'll just stay away from that one. But no, like I said, you get Cale Peterson back on track, you get the power play working, and you know, maybe you pull off that big trade that everybody's been clamoring for. So you get a guy like a Jacob Chychrun, and you know what, Ryan, it could be a whole new season.
I'd like to see it at the deadline, you know, no matter where the Kings are, to be honest. I mean, just for the long-term future for this team, you know,
right.
I don't know if Alex Edler comes back, you know, is he done playing then? The guy's 35 years old, coming off a significant injury. Some team might take a flyer on him, probably not the Kings.
Well, much like the Kings did, though, but I mean, if you know, when they signed him, we talked about this in the preseason too, you know, I mean, with his, you know, he was playing top 4 minutes for the Kings and you know, that's going to be tough to replace. What was he averaging, like 20, 21 minutes a night, correct?
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. But I mean, so that's a significant loss, but I can tell you right now that he probably wasn't going to be playing that kind of minutes later in the season because they were going to have to conserve him. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens though, my friend. It really is. And
let me pull up his on-ice time or his average on-ice time. He was averaging 18 and a half minutes per night. Okay. So it's a pretty good clip.
So I was on casino time. There's no clocks in casino. So. But no, so that's, I'm very waiting with bated breath to see what they do to replace him. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Like I said, I mean, if Arizona is going to dangle out Jacob Chychrun and go get him.
But I'll tell you what, you watch, they'll want all trade pick or draft picks. And so going into the next year's draft, they're going to be like at the podium for like three quarters of the draft.
Yeah. They got like three first round picks, 5 second round picks.
they'll do a scan of the crowd. You see all the other team executives sleeping at their tables. Wake us up when it's our turn. Well, buddy, we said that this was going to be a short pod, and we're now almost into 40 minutes, so I guess we lied. But that's okay.
That always happens, right?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Time flies when you're having fun. But I think now we really will wrap up. And so, yeah, we'll watch that Florida game. We're going to keep an eye on the Washington and the Carolina game. And, you know, like I said, if the Kings play a solid game plan like they did against Tampa, I think that they can actually come away with some points on this road trip. So
yeah, no, I agree. They got one hard-earned win. In Tampa, obviously, two would have been better. But, you know, it took them right to the wire there. They didn't get blown out like maybe some people thought they might.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it'll be fun. So, all right, my friend. I think that's going to be about enough for us for now. And let's do this again in a few days.
Yeah, sounds good.
Maybe we'll do one after the Washington game. That's what I want to talk about. All right. So, thank you for listening, everybody. For Ryan Sykes, I'm Scott Kimball. We are signing off for now, but we will see you in a few days. Thanks for listening, and go Kings, go.
See you guys. Have a good night.